Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donnelly view system deal. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
It's the pink after Liverpool have beaten post-match show, after Liverpool have beaten Tottenham Hotspur by 2-1. I've got Andy Bell and Mike Manning with me. I'll start with you, Andy, and let's be absolutely crystal clear about this. You cannot overstate how big a 3 points that is for Liverpool.
Absolutely humongous 3 points, especially after the most recent league game, which was 1-0 defeat to Leicester. It started looking as if the team that finishes bottom of this league could actually finish in double figures in terms of points tally. For the first time, possibly in, certainly for the last sort of 10 years in the WSL. So, the league's becoming more competitive and you need to pick up more and more points every season to stay up. There will not be teams finishing on 4 or 5 points like there have been in previous years. Obviously, Tottenham have found themselves down there unexpectedly, I think, this season. And on the basis of what I saw today, could be in big trouble. I don't think they've won since the 30th of October, I think it is.
Yeah.
On the basis of today, look really, really poor. But Liverpool do the business. Liverpool play well. Liverpool fight. It becomes a bit scrappy at the end because we don't get the third and fourth goal. But,
scrappy understates it. It was an absolute pitched battle of attrition at the end. And I loved every minute of it.
I think Leanne Rowe epitomised that. Came into the team, hasn't had many minutes this season. Probably unfairly as well, because when she does come in and plays in the Conte Cup, she looks good. She looks solid. She's a great tackler. She's robust. I thought she epitomised that sort of last 10-15 minutes today. But let's be clear about this. I think, if Tottenham got a goal there at the end and it ended 2-2, I think it would have been daylight robbery, because I think Liverpool are by far the better team.
They create by far the better chances. Tottenham got 1-0 up, it is against the run of play. And Liverpool get 3 or 4 excellent opportunities. I think there's a penalty in there, to be honest with you, in that. I think she does get something of the ball, but she takes all of Stengel in doing so. And if Stengel is able to remain on her feet, she's got to tap it at that point. I think that Liverpool do have really, really hard lines. First, they'll be 1-0 down. And also, to an extent, to only be 2-1 at half-time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a really, really good finish. But Liverpool don't close the player down anywhere near quick enough. Fuka Nagano is an absolutely phenomenal player on the ball, but I think sort of going the other way, she's got quite a lot to learn. At times they have quite a lot of space in the midfield in the first 10-15 minutes, and I think they just sort of had the freedom of Prenton Park to pick their pass, and eventually the centre halves don't close her down quick enough. But it was against the run of play, you're absolutely right. But it was no surprise to me. I never really panicked at any point, even when we were 1-0 down. When we went 1-0 down to Leicester, I thought, oh dear, this is trouble. But today, I always felt we're getting that goal.
The Leicester thing was, it improves for Leicester in the game against Leicester when he changes it.
Yeah.
This one, I was thinking, don't change a thing.
Yeah.
Just don't change a thing.
It doesn't make the first sub until 72 minutes, I think it is.
And he hasn't even got that many options on the bench. What I mean is more, it goes 1-0. And I'm thinking, if we just keep playing as we've been playing, it'll come now. It's a slightly fortuitous equaliser, don't get me wrong. But Liverpool have had many other opportunities before then around their penalty area, Andy. The game was there. I just felt like we could get into their final third with ease, and then once we were there, I felt we could create.
Yeah, definitely. And the front two of Daniels and Stengel can look a little bit workmanlike at times. They're both very physical. Katie Stengel puts in an absolute sort of monster performance in terms of her physicality and her running and her battling. The state of her body at the end of the season for the absolute work that she's had to go through. I wouldn't like to be looking at the sports science or the red zones.
Batter than bruised today.
The reddest zone of all time, I think. Leanne Kiernan's out for another 10 weeks now. You look at our options up front when we take Daniels off. It's Murray Taylor who goes up there. He starts with Lundgaard, I think, and then he very quickly changes it because it doesn't look like it's working. I thought Taylor actually did a fairly decent job up front as well. I mean, there's one finish where she absolutely scuffs it, but she put herself about. She's a robust tackler as well, and came on and epitomised sort of as I say, the same as what Leandro did. And you know, Stengel and Daniels were fighting, they were putting themselves about, and Lingard and Taylor did the same, and they had to, because that Spurs team were very, very physical, if nothing else.
They were very physical, the Spurs team, Michael. I want to talk about Stengel, because I think it's a performance of such quality, which ought to be crowned by the goal. There's so much physicality, there's so much. She, you know, I think the Spurs number four, I can't remember her name, is fortunate to end the game on the pitch. She gets into bad yellow in there, and then there's another one later on. But it's Stengel who's doing it to her over and over again. She's not quick, but she's able to run away from players, which is a hell of a gift to have. But she's brilliant at bringing people into play as well, popping it into it and coming back off. And you get to see the best bits of all of that first half. I thought Katie Stengel's first half performance, other than a goal, is almost a perfect centre-forward performance.
She's defiant, and the way she, like, how she uses their body for the last run towards goal is unbelievable. Like, there's every part of me just saying, just get it in the corner, just get it in the corner. She somehow finds the energy after battling the whole way through the 90 minutes to get past the player, use the pace and get through one-on-one and get that chance away. It's a constant. If the ball's within 5 yards of her, it's hers.
Yeah.
The defender's got no chance every single time. I feel almost quite sorry for her that she's only been that option this season, and there's parts of me that going, if she could come off on 70 here and give like another outlet to go on up front and
Come on 60 times, and put it all into the 30 minutes.
But she's been there for most of the season, and it's just been defiant, is how I'd sum her up.
The best thing about it is I think she's doing lots of Leanne Kiernan stuff now as well, which I didn't see her do at all last season. I didn't see her running channels. I didn't, I saw her sort of staying quite central, winning headers and being effective. But she's now sort of, she's got fitter. She was always strong, but she seems just fitter, stronger, more powerful, more pacey this season, and just much more of an all-round complete centre-forward. You know, she was very much the target player last year, frustrated me at times, but you know, she's completely proved me wrong this season, and unlucky not to come away with a goal today. I think what she does for that last chance is exactly what she should do for the chance in the first half, which you were talking about for the penalty, where she sort of gets it muddled under her feet and dallies on it a little bit, whereas the second one is, you know, she manipulates the ball so that if the defender's going to get to the ball, they have to go through her. And I suppose that's what happens with the first one, but I think, yeah.
Reminds me of Chelsea at the very start of the season. It's similar position, bursting down from the right. Somehow finds the pace. Unbelievable.
Rachel Laws, Andy, is so assured and offers that sort of calm. It suits her down to the ground, coming up against, I think, arguably, certainly a bottom half WSL side, and we'll see where they end up, but a bottom half WSL side who just look a little bit short of ideas. I think that absolutely suits Rachel Laws down to the ground, because they're throwing it into areas and it allows her to come and to command over and over and over again. And then as they overcommit, she's able to use the excellence of a distribution at times as well, just to get Liverpool either a long way further up the pitch or out into nice areas in the full-back positions. She does both. You get to see all-round goalkeeping.
Absolutely nothing she can do about the first goal. She has a little bit of a moment where she comes out for the ball. I think her and possibly Gemma Bonner get in the way of each other. And it really frustrated me, because she threw the arms up and I'm like, you know, I actually think that was Rachel Law's fault in the first half, and that was her only fault. It obviously didn't result in a goal, and yet every cross was just so assured. Nothing was punched, nothing looked like every catch was so clean. You know, it looked like it just looked like the perfect technique all around. And yeah, she's been for a little bit of criticism this season. I know a couple of people who think we could possibly improve on that, and I know a couple of people who think as well that some of the young keepers we've got coming through, Arthur Cummings and Faye Kirby, could sort of step into that role the next couple of seasons. But based on that today, you know, Laws has that number one shirt, and it's experience as well. Like, I remember somebody tweeted, you mentioned the Chelsea game. Rachel Laws successfully in that Chelsea game held the ball in her hand for 27 seconds and nobody even complained.
Yeah.
You know, and anyone can do it, but to do it in a manner of where it looks like where nobody's even complaining, or nobody's...
Just on, put on the Tottenham point, she's got to deal with, and in fact the whole defence had to deal with, talking about Stengel's physicality and her use of her body and the way she plays all the way through the 90 is exemplary. Tottenham's number 9 is literally number 9.
Yeah.
She doesn't play anywhere near as well as Stengel, but she is 6'1", I'm saying. She's an absolute unit up there. And that's what Laws is coming up against over and over again. She obviously has the ability to use her hands.
Yeah.
It's easy to say that. She can use her hands and obviously by extension her arms to come and claim. But you are coming up against one of the biggest centre-forwards in the league.
Yeah.
And that's why Tottenham are opting to pump it into the box, I think, because they're thinking she could win the first ball here, but Laws every single time comes and takes it off her head clean.
And they weren't horrific crosses either. They were in good crossing areas. They weren't doing it from the touchline. They were getting into the half spaces and they were working things. And, you know, if Liverpool had worked the ball into those spaces, you would expect chances to be created, but they were just snuffed out right away. And, you know, we got the classic Rachel Laws sitting down for 3 minutes just to take a little bit of a sting out of the game, and that's where the experience comes through as well. Like, it was absolutely raging when Taylor Hines sprinted off the pitch on 85 minutes. I couldn't believe it. I know, I think she took the piss a little bit with the change of the captaincy. that took a little while, but whether the referee had said something to her or not, I'm not sure. But yeah, it's that experience, it's that leadership, and yeah, the assuredness of the actual goalkeeping part of it doesn't hinder us either.
On Gemma Bonner, I thought it was another really, really good certain performance, Michael. Everything that Rachel Laws wasn't claiming, it felt like Gemma Bonner was heading. It's quite interesting what they were doing off goal kicks, which let she go into midfield, which allowed them to push Missy Bow further up, and they play almost with a two for a split second, and then Bonner drops back in. On the whole, I thought that Bonner's performance was very, very good indeed. She didn't give Tottenham a minute, and she showed an ability to get back in a couple of occasions as well.
Yeah, that whole spine, the Stengel, Bonner, Lawsy there, like it's so assuring. That whole second half only happens. We see it out because of those three, really. I'd say there's from Bonner. There's a moment on like 90. I don't know. It's 95 on 30 because Andy likes to start a stopwatch on the 90th minute.
Marvellous.
But there's points where
clock obsessed. I would say.
But where she clears it and it's not quite there, it's not quite good enough, the clearance, but then she's straight back in there to win the header and to make sure it's out, we clear our lines. As you say, there's moments where you can sort of just like look around and just it takes the weight off you knowing that she's going to clear her lines, she's going to sort it out and organise at the back. So an additional leader in a team that's got its leaders, so made up.
It's part of the whole aspect of it, Andy. That idea of having that sort of robustness, I think, it really helps this side. And you know, we've both had the criticism that they could maybe do a little bit more first half, especially second half. I think if they'd have more confidence, more options from the bench, then I think maybe they just find a way to pull away from Tottenham and make it three on the counter and even four. It's worth saying, to go back and contextualise it as we did at the start, this is a Liverpool side that's got reasons to know how important today's 3 points is. There's a reason why a side does end up taking a few steps back. There's a reason why Tottenham are playing the way they're playing. They're short of confidence, but Liverpool are a bit short of confidence as well. You mentioned the last home game against Leicester before. It does finish 1-0. You know, there was a fair bit of what we have, we hold, I think. And as I say, it might be different if you're able to look over to the bench and sneeze fans of Sandon's there, but Liverpool did not have that today. And that's why having that robustness right the way through that spine becomes so important.
Yeah, absolutely. Just on the confidence point, I think it's difficult as well, because ordinarily, and I mean, this is an absolute injury crisis that Liverpool are in at the minute. You know, and we were only 5 points ahead of Leicester, and it was looking precarious. I think they're drawing at the minute, so we'll see how that finishes. But I think there were 7 players who were out. You know, players who are coming back. Leanne Kiernan has been teasing us all season, and then there seems to be setback after setback after setback. Van de Sanden out for a couple of months, she hasn't been able to get anything together. So it's not as if Liverpool have been without their trials and tribulations this season. And you know, Leanne Rowe ordinarily would be nowhere near Liverpool's starting lineup. She's probably going to get sold in the summer. Who's the other one I was going to say? Daniels as well. Yeah, ordinarily wouldn't be in a Liverpool starting lineup either. So it's that robustness and it's that experience in the side. And in terms of the pure short term of this season, the aim this season is purely staying up. He's managed to cultivate a dressing room and a spirit and a team with such experience and know-how and nous that ultimately, without even playing particularly well, we just get over the line 2-0 against Reading. We just pick up these points at home, and all of a sudden we'll find ourselves with 14 points from 14 games. Isn't it? We've got the league table in front of us there.
It
14 points from 14 games. Possibly another win should wrap it up completely. You know, it obviously depends on other results, but we've got how many games? 8 games, and I'd say 3 points from that has it absolutely sure. And possibly even when you look, 4 teams above us having to claw back at least 4 points, 5 in the case of Spurs, 6 in the case of Brighton, 7 in the case of Leicester if it stays that way. You know, there's no guarantee they pick up those points either. So, you know, we've done really well to just kind of tick along this season, and as I say, without being absolutely spectacular. And you would like to see a little bit of progression in terms of players coming through, and you see that with the young signings he's made in January. But we can look towards the rest of this season now, give Lundgaard a few more minutes, get Murray Taylor immersed in the team, Silcock comes in the other night, and by all accounts does really well. And you'd ideally like a little bit less pressure off these games.
Okay, we're going to take a break, get another drink in, we're going to finish off rounding up. We're joined now, me and Mike and Andy, by the wonderful Amy Lawrence from Red Men TV to talk about that game. I've asked her who she wants to rave over. She wants to rave over Kenny Holland. It was a very committed performance. It was a very orange in a yellow to red card way performance. But then that's the case for a lot of players on that pitch. She was so physical, Kenny, and she was everywhere, Amy.
She was. I think I tweeted, like, post-match as well, that she covered every single blade of grass, and I think she absolutely was crawling up the stairs at the end after all the challenges she'd either put in or got taken up on her.
Did you watch the players come off the pitch, by the way? Because they all looked to me to be absolutely done in.
They done looked like they'd done 10 rounds with AJ at one point, but yeah, no. I feel like it's not anything new we see from Kerry Holland. It's very much like consistent each week. Always gives 110%, always never shine away from a challenge or anything like that. And I feel like without her in that midfield, it just doesn't work. There's not a lot. It just feels like we're missing an engine when she's not playing. And I feel like we're really lucky to have her. And hopefully, if we manage to keep up this run, we can keep her here as well. Because I'm sure there'll be a lot of people after her at the end of the season.
I think that she's the way in which she's able to bring other people into the game through a sheer work rate as much as anything else is the bit that sort of grabs me, Amy. She's able to create space for people. It allows, for instance, at times, one side today, Taylor Hines to get away a little bit. It allows Missy Bowe to get away a little bit. It really does allow everyone else to be able to find their pocket of space, and then she gets the ball into them.
Definitely, I feel as well with the introduction of Nagano as well, it actually allows Kerry Holland to get forward a little bit more. Yeah. And Nagano is definitely holding that six area, which allows Kerry to push forward, and maybe that in turn creates space for the other wide players.
She plays left wing on Wednesday night. She plays left midfield in 4-2-3-1, you know. Yep. So it shows that she's trusted more or less everywhere.
And she puts in a decent shift, by the way, in that game. Sorry.
She's got the pace to do it as well. And I feel like the last few weeks with Kerry Holland has been what it felt like when she first signed. Obviously she scored she signed in the January, didn't she? And I think it was against Coventry, and I can't remember who else. She scored those two goals back to back because she was allowed that freedom to push forward. And I feel like we're starting to see that come back into play a little bit more now. And to me, I'm not bothered that she's not scoring, but she's definitely contributing in so many other ways.
Absolutely. I want to talk about Andy about the second goal, of what becomes the winner for Liverpool. Missy Bocairns gets it. It's a good certain finish in there. It's a great move. It really is. Liverpool took brilliantly for it.
The reverse ball is disgusting. What? Like, it's so
break the
good.
Whole goal down.
We were sitting just behind. I think it was Fuka Nagano's mum getting very excited every time she got the ball, and it just shows how Nagano is just a level above in terms of her
appreciation and anticipation.
Absolutely, yeah. And everyone on the ground is calling for her to shoot. There's a little bit of space in the box for her, and everyone's calling for her to shoot, and she just finds this perfect little reverse ball which opens up a chance. And we talked in pre-season, I think, about the idea of getting Hines and Cavisto into these central areas. I think it is Cavisto who plays the ball to Kearns, isn't it? And you want to get them close to the goal. You don't want them hugging the touchline. You want to use their ability. Cavisto gets 3 goals last season. She gets her first goal today of the season. You know, she's a forward who scores, sort of. She's a wing back who can chip in with goals. We know from last season, Hines can chip in with goals as well. And you want to get them in those central areas, kind of in the way that sort of the men do with Henderson provides the width, so you can get your better players in Trent and Salah into those areas. That's exactly what it was. But it was just nobody on the pitch and nobody in the crowd saw that ball.
Yeah.
But Fuka Nagano did, and it's just that moment of quality. It's won us an extra 2 points. Absolutely glorious. Great finish from Kearns. I think is she on 3 or 4 for the season now?
Yeah.
You know, she's
it's a very sensible finish, as well, I'd say, Andy. She's not trying to break the net.
Yeah.
And she's not trying to hit the corners because she doesn't need to at that point.
Yeah.
She just puts it where the goalkeeper's gonna really struggle to deal with it.
Yeah.
I loved how she swept onto it. It genuinely felt like a really pure goal.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It was a great all round move. I think, Michael, you were saying possibly our best goal of the season, based on the fact there were three or four players involved. You can't really disagree with that.
That was it, yeah. 3 or 4, but I felt like it was a first time in a long time that we've seen a proper, well-worked build-up finish.
Yeah.
It was, like, as I say, got a fair few players involved.
A lot of patience,
and which we sort of lacked all season, and it's had the quality there to to see it out and to tease out the Spurs side, make sure that we're pulling them from pillar to post, and then execute the finish. I was a little worried for a second that it was going to get given for offside and interfering with the keeper. That the referees had me up the wall.
It's
all
got
day.
A 1980s chat between the referee and the lad.
We've got no VAR here, have we?
No.
We've got
a very 1980s chat. I'm going to ask you who player the match was, all three of you, and then we'll also contextualise the performance. I'll start off with you, Amy. Who do you want to give it to?
I'm going to go Holland.
Okay.
Just because I brought her up and I feel like I've got to stick.
You've got to own it.
I have owned it.
At this point,
Mac?
I'm going to go Lawsy. Just because it's crucial what she does for the last 45. It's impeccable. That's everything you want from a keeper. Assured. Always assured.
I can't argue with either of those shouts, but I'll go Willianne Rube because I think, you know, mentally this season it must be hard for her to keep motivated. She's seen Jazz Matthews move into midfield, then move back, and she's seen Meg Campbell, who's a wing back, playing centre half ahead of her. She's seen Silcock playing ahead of her at times in the cups, and to stay motivated and to put in a performance like that, and the performance she put in midweek, and to keep herself fit, and just that attitude that she has coming in just shows what a great professional she is. And you know, we probably are going to lose her in the summer, but if we do, she's won us a vital 3 points there with a massive block at the end.
I'm going to give it to Katie Stengel because I'm right and you're all wrong. And because if she needs any work doing around the house this week because she's absolutely shattered, I would volunteer first and foremost. Last thing then is, Amy, what we wanted from the season was the idea of them staying up at all costs. And it did look a little bit wobbly. Today, 3 points is all you can do, but today feels as though it's such a stride forward because it creates the buffer between Liverpool and Tottenham. To add to the buffer that there is between Liverpool and a couple of the other sides down there. Now, if anything, Liverpool are probably closer now to West Ham, the side directly above them than they are to whoever it is who's directly below them. But that's still not the way we can quite look, is it? We've still got to worry about what's behind us, but today's a massive step forward about to do with staying up.
It is, and I think it's something that we all needed to stay sort of positive on this group. I don't know about anyone else, but I was really downbeat when we lost to Leicester because it felt like that was a really good opportunity to kind of show, not just to ourselves but to everyone else, that we do kind of belong to stay in this league. But I feel like this is another step in the right direction. But again, not to get too ahead of ourselves, because a game like Leicester can happen again and we're all heads in hand. But this and the Reading game, I think, proves enough to us that we are good enough to be here and to stay here.
Just a quick one, sort of going back to what you were saying about the experience and the robustness of the team. Spurs were physical today, but I thought they actually crossed the line into the nasty a little bit at
times.
Agreed,
completely.
And you know, there were a couple of players who really stood up to them and said, no, we're not going to get bullied here. At one point, Kerry Holland. I mean, the best moment of the game is when Stengel, first half, just absolutely shoves the player off her. He's trying to take her down. It was the coldest thing I've ever seen. I say Kerry Holland stands up to them at one point. They're giving it loads to the referee. They're giving it loads to those players. And they said, you know what? No, this is our pitch. We're not going to get bullied here. And any nastiness will not work with us. And I enjoyed that side of it as much as I did, like, the great moves and the goals and the performance.
There we are. That was a side to most definitely enjoy. It's why he was wrong about who we went for player of the match. But we are where we are. We'll see you later. Sports Social Podcast Network.